The Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into the Greg Peterson Experience right here on the Vegas Edge and Information Network. It's myself, Greg Peterson. If you were expecting me to say some other name, well, I don't know what to tell you, but we're going to have a lot of fun these next 3 hours. We've got some Pac-12 After Dark going on right now. We saw a great day of baseball on Saturday as we've got now the final week of the regular season in Major League Baseball going to a fever pitch. And, oh yeah, there's that thing called the NFL that's going to be played on Sunday as well. So we've got you covered on a little bit of everything over these next 3 hours. New show here on the Vegas Edge and Information Network debuted it last night. A little bit about myself. I've been here with VSiN ever since 2017, a proud UW Oshkosh alum, born and raised in the state of Wisconsin. So I have a lot to talk about with the Badgers. That was a little bit of a calamity there. But with that said, if you are from the state of Wisconsin, you fully expected that, as I did personally, because I wound up taking Notre Dame on the money line. So I was a little bit happy about that one. Bitter about the Badgers losing, but happy about being able to add some money to the bankroll. And you know what? That is all that matters when it comes to sports betting. And let's dive into it right now, as we've got some good games that are going down in Pac-12 After Dark, as got a couple conference games, as it didn't look like we would be getting Caden Slovis for the USC Trojans, but he's in there right now as the Oregon State Beavers on the road in a USC bunch that has been really scuffling this year. I think that's about as polite as I can put it. Clay Helton winds up getting pretty much relieved of his duties 2 weeks ago. It's Oregon State currently up 28-17 on USC midway through the third quarter, and they are driving ball on the 20-yard line. This is a game in which, if you want to take a look at Oregon State, well, you were able to get quite a few points for being able to take them, as Oregon State wound up closing right around 10.5-point underdog. Actually opened a little bit bigger than that as well, so you were able to get some good value there. So if you wound up taking the points with Oregon State, right now you are in good shape, as the total winds up closing anywhere between 63.5 and 64. This is one that wound up fluctuating throughout the week, as you found it more in the low 60.5, 61 range at the beginning of the week. So this one is certainly going to be a sweat. And then the other team from the state of Oregon, the Ducks, they currently have a lead on Arizona by a count of 24-18. It has been trials and tribulations, to say the least, for the Wildcats, but they've come on given a spirited effort as about a 31-point underdog. You saw this close at 31 at Circa. A lot of other books in Vegas, more around the 30-ish range, as the Wildcats just wound up getting on the board with a touchdown. They boom through the extra points. So you've got 24-19 with 1:36 left in the third quarter. Oregon, we wound up seeing them a few weeks ago at home having a little bit of a tough one against Fresno State. We're ultimately able to get the win, but Oregon State, as the number three team in the country, not necessarily impressing right now. And we saw Oregon wind up getting that big ranking because of the win that they wound up pulling off over Ohio State a few weeks ago. So it's going to be interesting to see what the reaction is going to be to this. Going to be interesting to see if we can wind up getting a final in this one, as we are going to be going to overtime. And this one wound up going over most totals. If you wound up getting in on like a very stray 48, maybe a 48.5, a little bit of a tough one here, but Cal and Washington, we are going to be entering into overtime with this one, with these two teams tied at 24, and it's really been a rough year when it comes to some of these middle teams in the Pac-12, because I was expecting a little bit out of Washington. I had a lot of questions when it came to the offense, and well, those were rightfully served, because we wound up seeing Washington in week one wind up losing to Montana. When you wind up losing to an FCS school and you're out there in the FBS, that is not necessarily what you want. And then from there, they wind up getting pulverized by Michigan. So certainly has been not what you've wanted if you're a fan of the Huskies, as they wind up entering into this one 1-2 straight up. And for Cal, a team that has really been able to build their brand on defense, not necessarily a team that has been very good on offense under this current regime. It has been brutal for them. They wind up scoring just 17 points in their loss to Nevada. They wind up not being able to get the job done against TCU before playing within two touchdowns against Sacramento State. Sacramento State, that's another FCS school. So the Pac-12 certainly has had their ups and downs this year, sans Oregon. So we're going to be getting into that a little bit later as we take a look at college football mainly here in the first hour. But also got to take a look at BYU versus South Florida. BYU has looked very solid in the early goings of the season in general. They were able to get the nice win over Utah in their intrastate rivalry 2 weeks ago, and it looks like they're on their way to another win. Now the question is, are they going to be able to cover the 23? 35-20 is right now the count in this one. Got about 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter, so it is a spot in which you're definitely wanting a touchdown if you're a backer of BYU for the Cougars. It really has been a little bit of everything going on for this team, as at the quarterback spot, you've had a bunch of guys being able to get in on the act and get the passes in from Romney, as he's been able to give you three touchdowns. Baylor Romney approaching 300 yards. And then Tyler Algier has been able to do a solid job on the ground. Pair of touchdowns for him. Meanwhile, for South Florida, certainly has been a rocky road for them the past few years, to say the least. So it's going to be fascinating to see what happens here, because they wound up losing in week one to NC State, who was able to pull off a big win of their own by a count of 45-0 in week one. They haven't really been able to get out of neutral when it comes to their offense. And speaking of not being able to get out of neutral, it's this USC program, as Oregon State has added another touchdown, 35-17. It is now USC currently in a big deficit. If you were hoping for the interim staff to show well and perhaps be able to earn the head coaching spot, well, I don't think that that's going to happen. I think that at this point, the biggest question mark that we have with USC going forward for the season is, how is the coaching search going? Because you got to figure that they're going to be trying to go after a big name guy. The fact that Clay Elton was able to get as long as he did, right around 8 seasons, that is just deplorable, to say the least. You're USC, you've got a big name brand, you're out there in Los Angeles. For the longest time, they were the only show in town. Now, it's not their fault that they've probably fallen back a little bit, because you've got the LA Chargers, which, if you ask people in LA, they probably don't know that they've got the Chargers. And then you got the LA Rams, which a lot of people out there in LA, they know that they've got the Rams. So at the very least, they've got that going for them, but not really a good spot there. And you've got UCLA's right now, the best team out there in the city when it comes to college football. So that is certainly an unsightly situation. And I will say this for Oregon State, I still remember watching them during the 2019 season, one of the grittier bunches that you're going to find. They come from Corvallis. They're very well coached, a team that typically likes to be able to run the ball and has done so very well in recent years. Last year was a little bit of a throwaway. COVID-19 wound up really marring their season. And if you're looking to get in live on this one, by the way, USC is getting 11.5 on the live line. You need to lay 11.5 at -120 juice if you want Oregon State at this point, as they're up by a count of 35-17. But what I've been very impressed by when it comes to Oregon State is that they haven't necessarily thrown for a bunch of yards, but Chance Nolan, how about 15 of 17 for 4 touchdowns? He does have a pick to his name, but he certainly has been able to do a good job. Meanwhile, Caden Slovis has thrown an interception for USC as they look to be able to get a drive going. They're starting within their own territory, so this is not what you want to see here. And it's going to be a spot in which you just want to know who's really going to be able to contend with Oregon out there in the Pac-12, because you take a look at the Pac-12 right now, and Oregon is definitely that clear number one team after they were able to get that win over Ohio State. But then you got a whole lot of meh in between. You've got UCLA, who wound up having that loss last week to Fresno State. They were able to get up off the mat. They were able to get a nice win against Stanford by a count of 35-24 for this week four. So you give them a little bit of credit there. I still have my question marks when it comes to this team, but they certainly are building something under Chip Kelly. And then you just take a look at the rest of the conference. Is Arizona State going to be able to pop, give you a little bit of something? Stanford was the bunch in which pretty much put Clay Helton out of a job. They're 1-1 when it comes to conference play. And for a lot of these teams, they are playing just their first conference games as well. So going to be just a situation which you need to find out a little bit more of the Pac-12, because Oregon is at number one. You really don't have much outside of that. And for Oregon, they would really benefit from some of these teams being able to rise up as well. You want a clear look at some of the haves and the have-nots, because with Oregon, right now, they don't have a single other ranked opponent in the conference with them. It's Oregon who's ranked at number three, and then really past that, you've got a bunch of teams that they're finding themselves outside the top 25, so that is a massive issue for them. It is also a massive issue if you wind up having the under in Washington versus Cal, as this is a game that is currently in the first overtime, so we're going to keep you guys abreast of that. We're going to be taking a look at some of the results that we wound up seeing in college football as we go along as well, as right now it is Washington who has now pushed it into the end zone. They're now up by a count of 30-24 on Cal, PAT pending, as it has been a rough go of it to begin the year for Washington through the air, but now you've got a pair of touchdowns for Dylan Morris, so that is a good sign for the Huskies, and it's going to be a good sign in general if you can wind up getting one of these Pac-12 teams ranked for Oregon if you wound up taking an Oregon future on them to be able to win the national championship, make the college football playoff, what have you, as it's been just absolutely insane. And saw this pop up as watching the Oregon versus Arizona game on ESPN. 25 losses for the AP Top 25 through the first 4 weeks. That is the most we've seen in the modern era of college football. So it certainly has been a lot of brutality. I know that a lot of you guys, if you wound up backing some of the favorites, wound up having a little bit of a rough ride of it. And something that I've really been noticing when it comes to college football as well, and we've really seen it play out just throughout the early goings of the season, is that the home underdogs have been doing very well. We're going to be hitting on this a little bit later on. But when it comes to home underdogs, coming into today, they were 31-19-3 against the spread. You wound up seeing a couple outright winners today. Baylor is certainly one of them. We're going to be hitting on them a little bit later. But you take a look at how home underdogs have been faring against the spread now that we've got these results in, and they've been able to do quite well. 41-26-3 as of right now. Obviously, you've got a couple of results that are pending, but that is a hit rate of about 61% if you've just been taking underdogs against the spread at home, as it looks like BYU is going to be lining up to try to be able to put some points up on the board against South Florida. So we're going to be keeping you guys up to date on Pac-12 After Dark. We're going to be keeping you guys up to date also on BYU versus South Florida. But coming up next, we saw a lot of insane college football games. Going to give you a little bit of a recap of what we've all seen on this college football Saturday right here on the Greg Peterson Experience on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're experiencing Hoops Peterson himself on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Proud to announce that VSiN is now available 24/7 on the YouTube Sports Plus package. Sign up today at tv.youtube.com to start your free trial. And remember, you can always watch us 24/7 on FuboTV, Sling, and Xfinity X1. Visit VSiN.com to find all the ways to watch and listen to VSiN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, which, as you know, is the sports betting network. As we're back here on the Greg Peterson Experience, it is myself, Greg Peterson, coming at you. Big shout out to all the guys that make this possible. Wyatt Tomchek, Jason Kahn, along with our good buddy Nick. All three of you guys are doing a great job tonight, so appreciate all the hard work back there. And I do appreciate the fact that betting against USC is oh so easy. 35-17, Oregon State is taking it to USC. It's another USC turnover. The calamity continues for the Trojans. Please, someone get a coach into Los Angeles to help these guys out, because this is not good, to say the least. And Oregon State, give them credit. This is a gritty bunch. I don't think that they're going to be finishing towards like the top three of the Pac-12 or anything like that, but certainly a team that you don't want to see on your schedule. They're going to run the ball well. They've been able to do it through the air, as they've got a quadrant of touchdowns via the air. So you've been able to have a lot of that going on. But man, I mean, this is just bad for USC. If you're looking to take them live, you're getting 15.5 points. Live total is now set at 72.5. This one closed more around, I would say, 63.5, with Oregon State being a double-digit underdog. So if you've just been taking money lines against USC at this point, well, you wound up coming home big on that Stanford one with Oregon State. They wound up closing as a relatively sizable one. Obviously, with these money lines, they're going to vary book-to-book, but anywhere between about a plus 325, even as good as about a 360, was to be had out there. So that has been very solid. Arizona State and Colorado, this is a game in which we have yet to update, as Arizona State currently leads Colorado by a count of 28-10. This was a game in which Arizona State was a 2-touchdown favorite. So right now they're covering that, as you've got a little bit of an interesting total here of 45. I think that there were a couple places that wound up having this get down to 44.5. So there's certainly a lot of intrigue if there is another touchdown that winds up being scored. So we've got a lot of that going on. And then it looks like you've got Washington kicking the PAT as they wound up scoring in overtime against Cal. It is now 31-24 in that one. So we will keep you abreast of all the Pac-12 After Dark action. But got to take a look at what we wound up seeing today in college football. I mentioned it a little bit earlier. Thus far this year, we have seen 25 teams ranked in the top 25 through 4 weeks lose outright. I mentioned the statistic about home underdogs in the last segment. They entered into this day having covered right around 62% of games. Home underdogs against the spread entered the day 30-19-1. Well, that trend has just continued. Home underdogs against the spread thus far this year, obviously a couple games pending, 41-26-3. So they're covering at a rate of 61.2%. Now, a lot of these games that were on a neutral field, like Wisconsin versus Notre Dame, they obviously don't get factored into this, but we've seen a lot of this go on. Baylor versus Iowa State is a game that we've got to hit on in a second, but I just remember seeing everyone, and this team came in this week, being on this New Mexico versus UTEP game. UTEP winds up opening up a 2-point favorite. They wind up closing a 2.5-point underdog. And once you know it, the true line wound up being the UTEP Miners, as they wind up being able to get that win by a count of 20-13. It's just so funny how it sometimes works in that you wound up having a New Mexico team that legitimately, towards the end of last year in 2020, wound up closing things out very strongly. They were able to get a couple nice wins out there in the Mountain West. I personally thought that UTEP was a little bit of a doormat. I was not expecting much out of them. They wind up being able to do a very solid job on defense. They were able to do a good job of being able to force a couple turnovers, so that was very beneficial. You wound up seeing Indiana as a road favorite be able to win but not cover against Western Kentucky 33-31. And this is just an intriguing team to look at in Indiana, because I do think that the middle of the Big Ten is very good, and I think that Indiana is going to go back to being what they have been prior to really that 2020 season. That's one of the worst teams out there in the Big Ten. You take a look at Michael Penix Jr. He was able to throw for 373 yards, but he had as many passing touchdowns as Greg Peterson. You can tell that he's just not as mobile as he was last year. He's been dealing with injury. And when it comes to Conference USA, some of these teams out there are no joke. I do think that UAB is going to be able to give you a little bit of something throughout the year. And Bailey Zappe, he winds up going 31-44, 365, 3 touchdowns. He looked very solid for this bunch. Western Kentucky, not a team that has necessarily been able to gather a lot on the ground, but they were certainly able to do a nice job. You saw a couple of ranked teams be able to do a great job of being able to get covers. But with that said, you saw a couple of those ranked teams go on the road and they had their struggles. We've got to talk about this one. Clemson versus NC State. Clemson was a program that, with DJU, he was one of the top recruits coming from the state of California. I know that there were a lot of people from like USC, UCLA that were a little bit bitter that he didn't wind up going there. Maybe it's a good thing that he didn't wind up going to your school. 12 of 26, 111 yards, 2 touchdowns and an interception. This was one of the top front runners when it comes to the Heisman Trophy coming into the year, and he just hasn't performed very well. He's now got 1 touchdown to 2 interceptions on the campaign. It just has been a little bit of a calamity that was coming in today. He winds up having the big interception in this one as the team winds up losing in 2 overtimes. But, I mean, just one of these things of which you can tell that the aerial tech of Clemson has not been the same with him in there. And it's just a little bit befuddling because you wound up watching him last year as a freshman, and it looked like he was going to be able to do some good things at the college football level. He wound up having that big game in which he throws for over 300 yards against Notre Dame. And I personally felt like when Clemson wound up losing to Notre Dame last year, it wasn't necessarily on DJU. Certainly, you would have had a little bit of a different result if Trevor Lawrence would have been out there, but you really couldn't pin that loss on him. Now that he has become the man, you can pin these losses a little bit more on him, because this Clemson defense was not too bad against NC State. When they wound up against Georgia, that was a 10-3 game. So the defense of Clemson isn't maybe the same as we've seen in past years. Not quite, but I mean, it's one of these things in which it certainly is far from terrible. You wound up seeing Devin Levi for NC State be able to throw for 4 touchdowns in this one, but a lot of that did wind up coming in the extra sections. They were able to do a good job of holding NC State to 2.9 yards per carry. But I do think that a big thing with Clemson as well is that what we don't talk about is Travis Etienne and the impact that he had on this offense. I think it's becoming paramount that when it comes to college football, you've really got to be taking into account the ground game as well. That has been so big with many of these teams that have been unable to get these wins in big spots, like a Clemson, like in Iowa State as well. We've got to take a look at Iowa State and the fact that they wind up losing on the road to Baylor by a count of 31-29. If you listened to this fine show yesterday, I advise you to take the 7 with Baylor, but it was certainly a situation which you had Breece Hall do a great job for this team. 27 carries, 190. Here's the problem with Iowa State, though. I really thought that this was a program that was going to ascend in future years, and that's because starting as a freshman, being able to be pushed in there and do a solid job, that was Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy, ever since he wound up playing as a freshman. You know what the Purdy stands for? Pretty darn average. 363 yards in this one, a touchdown, an interception. And for Baylor, it's not like this team did a great job through the air, but it's what they didn't do. They didn't turn the ball over. They were able to do a very solid job of being able to force turnovers of their own. You did have Bohannon wind up having a fumble loss in this one, but with Iowa State, they wound up having that bad interception from Brock Purdy that wound up hurting them in this one as well. And when it comes to Baylor, I think that they're going to be a little bit of a sneaky team. I don't think that you're necessarily going to have this team be like towards the top of the Big 12 or anything like that, but I fully expect them to be ranked come this time next week. So we're going to be keeping our eye certainly on them. Got to keep our eye on this as well, as it looks like BYU unlikely to be able to cover the right around 22 to 23 points that they were laying. It is now South Florida trailing BYU by a count of 35 to 27. You've got 5:40 and change left in this one. As for South Florida, they were able to punch this one in with a Jerry Mangum touchdown. He's now got two of them on the night. So the South Florida Bulls have been able to get a little bit of something going on the ground for a BYU team that they're ranked in the top 25. They were able to have a nice win a couple weeks ago against Utah, but certainly a bunch of without Zach Wilson. They're a little bit of a new look team, though. I do give them some credit. Their game has been pretty solid for this team. Baylor Romney has been able to come in and do a great job. He's got 299 passing yards in this one, as Baylor or BYU is going to be looking to try to close this one out. Going to be interesting to see if he gets another attempt to be able to pass it, to be able to try to get to that 300-yard mark. Also out there when it comes to Pac-12 after dark, Noah Sewell, who has got 14 tackles tonight for Oregon, he is currently down on the turf. That is not what you want to see if you are an Oregon backer. Well, if you're an Oregon backer and you wound up playing the 30 or so points, you're certainly not in good shape. This wound up closing out a lot of books at 30. I know here at Circa, it wound up closing at 31, so it all depends on the number. But depending on your number, you're certainly not going to be getting there. 27-19 is right now the count. We are in the early goings of the fourth quarter with Oregon's defense out there on the field. So we're going to be keeping our eyes on that. We do have a couple other Pac-12 games that are going to be going on, but we've got to talk a little bit more about the Big Ten. We wound up seeing some very interesting action, and one Big Ten team has not necessarily looked so good in the early goings, and it just so happens to be my home state. So we're going to be talking about that next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, here on the new show, The Greg Peterson Experience.
Hoops Peterson himself on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make this football season your best sports betting season ever. Start your VSiN free trial today to get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bets emails, betting splits with the money and ticket percentages on every single game, plus access to VSiN.com's data and analysis. You get everything VSiN has to offer for just $22 a month by signing up now at VSiN.com/subscribe, as we are back here in the lovely Circus Sportsbook, and it is a great Saturday, as it is myself, Greg Oops Peterson, here on the Greg Peterson Experience. If at some point we wind up having a different host, it's going to sound a little bit funny, but with that said, this sounds really funny as well. USC is getting trounced by Oregon State, and it's out there on the gridiron. It's not even on basketball or anything like that. It's on the gridiron. It is now Oregon State 42-17. The live line for USC has just went up and up and up. When I came on the show, it wound up being right around 10.5 to 11.5. On the last drive, it was 15.5. Now, if you're looking at USC, got to think that this is north of 17.5, pretty much at whatever book that you're looking at. And well, there's no point in which I would be wanting to entertain a live bet on USC at this point. They just look completely lost in the wilderness. The only question is, who's going to be the new coach at USC? Because that's what you've got to be concerned about. The fact that Clay Helton was left out there as long as he was, absolutely ridiculous. And you're seeing it right now. 18.5 is the live line on this one. Total of 73.5. This is a closing total that does have a little bit of an intrigue, as it wound up closing between 63.5 and 64. It is currently 42-17. We're in the early goings of the fourth quarter, so certainly a lot to be had there if you wind up taking the over or the under. Hopefully, if you wind up taking the over, you wind up betting it early, as this is one that wound up opening more towards 60.5, 61, depending on where you got it, and then it wound up getting steamed up towards the back half of the week. And then this one is one in which The total has gotten there on the over. Arizona State and Colorado have scored a couple points here in the fourth quarter, and you've now got Arizona State leading by a count of 35-13. So unless we have some shenanigans here, we should be seeing Arizona State be able to cover this line. And the total was anywhere between 44.5 and 45.5, and this one has now went over. So Arizona State looks like they're on their way to being able to get a win. The cover's still a little bit in doubt, but right now in pretty darn good shape as you've got 3:47 left in that one. This one has went final. The overtime game that we're seeing with Washington and Cal. Washington pulls it out. You were laying 7 in the hook in this one. If you wound up taking it early, you were laying more like even as high as a 9 in this spot with Washington, but they get the win 31-24. Closing total of 47-47.5 winds up going over, so it covers all numbers on that one. And what we are also seeing is a lot of FBS versus FCS games as well. A lot of these wound up going final a little bit earlier in the day, but Rice unable to get the cover against Texas Southern, 48-34. That one went final quite a bit ago as Rice was laying anywhere between 36.5 and 37 points. Clearly has not necessarily been the best of years to be able to back the Rice Owls. And it certainly was not the best of weeks to back the Big Ten if you wound up doing so. The marquee loss that the Big Ten wound up taking, in my opinion, well, I might be a little bit biased because I'm from the state of Wisconsin. I've got quite a few family members that graduated from the great University of Wisconsin-Madison. I told them all, do not bet on the Wisconsin Badgers because they will do nothing but disappoint. And lo and behold, they disappointed, as if you wound up taking right around plus $2 on the Notre Dame money line, you were very happy, as it was actually very close going into the fourth quarter. Wisconsin had a slim lead throughout much of this one, and then the floodgates just opened up. You wind up having Graham Mertz have an absolutely terrible go of it. Notre Dame, 41-13. And by the way, if you had the under in this one, thoughts and prayers to you, as this one wound up closing right around 43.5. Some spots more like a 44. I think that you could have gotten as good as a 45 throughout the week, but regardless, no matter what good number you wound up taking, it did not wind up getting there, as Mertz just wound up not being able to take care of the ball, completed fewer than 50% of his passes. And this is bad news for the Big Ten, because the Big Ten has just not looked solid in general. The Ohio State University wound up having their loss to Oregon a few weeks ago. Now, I will say, a team like a Maryland has been a very good surprise for the Big Ten, and Michigan being able to do what they wound up doing against Washington a few weeks ago, that was very solid. And you do have another team that is ranked in the top five and probably should remain there. If you wound up laying the points with Iowa, it certainly didn't get there on that front end. This one was a little bit closer than it needed to be. Colorado State was up by kind of 14-7 at recess, and then Iowa was just able to do a tremendous job on defense. That is what Iowa does, ladies and gentlemen. They run the ball. They play solid defense. They typically have a pretty efficient passer, and that was the case in this one, as Spencer Petraeus winds up going 15-23. Did have an interception in this one, but was able to throw for a pair of touchdowns. And Tyler Goodson was able to give you 57 yards on the ground. And for Iowa, just a team that they do a lot of the little things well. They don't necessarily blow you away. So laying some of the big numbers like you wound up having in this one with Iowa State in a lot of spots, laying between 23.5, maybe even a couple 24s out there, just not necessarily a situation that you want. But for Iowa, they were able to do a good job of being able to just pull this one out in the second half. Total winds up going under, with the total being anywhere between 43.5 and 44. You'll always notice in the Big Ten, you've got quite a few, we shall say, smaller totals, and typically the under has been relatively solid out there in the Big Ten. We've been seeing that a lot throughout the year. Even a team like a Michigan, they're going to be a interesting case study for this year. I know that a lot of people, myself included, were very sour on Michigan coming into the year. They get the win, but they do not get the cover against Greg Schiano and company by kind of 20-13. And how about if we actually give a little bit of credit here to the Rutgers Scarlet Knights? Whenever Greg Schiano has been at the helm, it's the only time in which his program has experienced any other success. I mean, for Rutgers, I think that you could bring in Nick Saban. I don't know if they would have as much success as Greg Schiano. Now, I say that very jokingly, but I mean, every other person in the history of Rutgers football that has come in has had no success other than Greg Schiano, and they were actually able to do a good job of being able to take care of the ball. Noah Verdell in this one didn't necessarily complete a bunch of his passes, but he didn't throw any interceptions, and we know that with Michigan, this is not a team that with Cade McNamara is going to be throwing the ball very much, but they were able to rack up 112 yards on the ground. They did a good job of just being able to pummel this Rutgers team, not allow them to be able to get in the end zone. So he saw a win for Michigan that is going to be certainly hanging their head on defense, to say the least, this year. And the team that I've been mentioning a little bit on the show the last few weeks, that would be Maryland. And they wind up getting a nice win. They were able to get the cover as well with Tuila Tagovailoa being able to have another nice game. Winds up throwing for 354 against the Golden Flashes of Kent State, 37-16. And all of a sudden, this is a Maryland bunch. And if you've been betting on them, it's been going very solidly for this team, as they wound up closing right around about a 13-ish point favorite. But they had that nice win week one against West Virginia. That were a bison game. Well, if they didn't wind up winning against Howard, that's just a big giant what you would do there. But when they wound up going against Illinois, they certainly did wind up having a very, shall we say, battle on their hands. But they were able to do a good job clawing their way back from being down 7 points in the fourth quarter. I think that this is a Maryland team that is going to be able to do some good things throughout the year. They are now 4-0. They haven't necessarily played the world's greatest competition, but West Virginia, I will say, they're not necessarily too much of a pushover either. So you've got both sides of the coin there. I do think that this is a Maryland bunch that you might want to take a look at moving forward, especially if in some of these Big Ten games they're catching like north of a touchdown. They could be able to provide you a little bit of sneaky value, as taking the points when it comes to Big Ten games typically is what you want to see. And you wind up seeing one of the bigger upsets that we've seen in college football over the last decade or so happen in Minnesota. How about Bowling Green taking down Minnesota by a count of 14-10? I wasn't necessarily too bullish on Minnesota. But that said, I didn't think that they would lose to a Bowling Green team that, to use a professional term here, has been very poopy in the last couple years. So you wound up having that go down with Bowling Green. They just did a great job of just being able to hold down Minnesota in general. Tanner Morgan, 5 of 13, 59 yards and 2 interceptions. He literally would have had a better passer rating had he just thrown it to the sidelines on every single play. I mean, this was just an absolute travesty for Minnesota. Now, this is a team that they always try to be able to control the game on the ground. You did wind up having Trayson Potts be able to give you 141 yards on the ground, but he was unable to push the ball into the end zone. And for Bowling Green, this was a bunch in which they did just enough to be able to get it done. This despite the fact that on the ground, they wind up having 25 carries for 22 yards as a collective. Obviously, sacks wind up factoring into that as well, but not what you want if you're the Big Ten on this week. And I was actually a little bit bullish on the middle of the Big Ten. You did wind up seeing Purdue be able to get a win, but once again, no cover against the underdog of Illinois, as that was a game in which I don't think Purdue wound up scoring as many points as they wound up closing at on the spread. 13-9 was the final in this one, as the Boilermakers of Purdue just wound up getting absolutely nothing going for Illinois. They haven't necessarily been able to get a whole heck of a lot going themselves. Purdue winds up closing as right around a 10.5-point favorite in a lot of spots. So that wasn't necessarily the world's greatest look there, but they were able to survive in advance. I just am going to be so intrigued to see what we wind up getting out of Northwestern, though, because with Northwestern, it always feels like that team that year after year, whenever they're playing at home, they are one of the toughest outs that you're going to find. We remember seeing them in the Big Ten title game a few years ago against Ohio State. They were just a big, giant thorn in the side of them. So it's going to be intriguing to watch them moving forward as they wind up getting a 35-6 win. So the Big Ten certainly had an interesting day of college football. And what else is very fascinating? We've seen a little bit of scoring here in Pac-12 After Dark. So I'm going to get you guys all refreshed on that when we come back here on the Greg Peterson Experience on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check out the current betting splits data. This new feature gives you the insights as to where the money and the bets are moving for every game. You'll be able to see where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match up with the public opinion. Data is available for money line, over, under, and against the spread bets. Betting splits are another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every single game at VSiN.com. As we are back here on the Greg Peterson Experience, it is myself, Greg Oops Peterson. The first time I wind up calling myself anything other than Greg or Greg Hoops Peterson or something of that liking, well, you know that things have certainly gone off the rails, and things are certainly on the rails when it comes to Arizona being able to get the cover. But it seems like we've got Oregon trying to make this as convincing of a win as humanly possible. We've got a pick six with the Ducks. It is now 41-19 as we got 7:04 left here in the fourth quarter. Now, Oregon is going to need to get another pretty much two scores, a touchdown and a field goal if they're going to be looking to cover this one, as Oregon winds up closing as between about a 30 to a 31-point favorite. So this is certainly one in which you've got quite a hill to climb if you're a Oregon backer, but certainly they've been able to show quite a bit of fight here in the fourth quarter for Arizona. Give them credit. They were able to hang in there for right around three quarters. It's just they're a little bit outgunned. They've got a new coaching regime in there, so that is certainly something that is not helping them. What is not helping USC is the fact that they're just completely darn overrated, as they are currently trailing Oregon State by a count of 42-24. They have just come up with a turnover, and this was even worse a few minutes ago, which that is very hard to believe. You were able to get USC on the live line about like 5 or so minutes ago, right around 18.5 points. So if you want to take that, you're actually in halfway decent shape. If you've taken pretty much anything else here tonight with USC, it is not looking good. And this is a total that has gone over. The total was set anywhere between 63 and 64. We've now got 66 total points in this one. So that has been decided. Now all that is left is whether or not Oregon State is going to be able to cash on those big money lines of north of $3. So we're certainly going to be taking our look at that as the night goes along. That game is right around 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So Trojans certainly looking like they're going to be in for a very long season. And it's been a very long season if you've been betting overs out there in college football as well. Another big takeaway that I wound up having from this college football Saturday, I mean, once again, home underdogs just continue to hit like wildfire. They wind up going 10-7 overall on Saturday. And overall for the year, they're hitting right around 61%. But unders wound up having a nice run of it. We all remember week 0/week 1, the unders were coming through just left, right, and sideways. Over 60% of games wound up going under. Well, here on this college football Saturday, now you've got a couple games that are pending. So this is going to change a little bit. But as of the games that have gone final, 34 unders, 23 overs. I believe you've got a push or two in there as well. But by my count, you've got right around 60% of games going under the total once again. We've really been noticing it when it comes to college football. It does feel like a lot of these offenses are being a little bit rattled by crowds being back in. I think we're going to see this across all sports because, as we remember, there were a lot of NFL games that just wound up going over at the beginning part of the season. We remember it with the NBA as well. In those games that were played in the bubble, you wound up seeing teams just go off, and bookmakers do a great job. They do a nice job of adjusting. You notice that after week 0/week 1 of college football, the totals were adjusted a little bit. You then from there wound up seeing a bunch of overs. So it's always one of those things when you wind up seeing the totals wind up getting shaded up or down. You probably want to be taking a look at the opposite. Take a look at what wound up happening the last week and do a little bit of the opposite, for lack of a better term, because that seems to have always done something that is very solid. Now, you don't want to be going out there and being like, oh, 60% of games went under last Saturday. That means that we're just going to take the entire board and go over. Always do this on a game-by-game basis. Always do your analysis. Take a look at the matchups. Don't just wind up blindly firing, but always keep that in mind and just shade your totals accordingly, because as it goes week by week, you certainly want to be giving a little bit more kudos to something like a Georgia offense that winds up scoring 62 points on Vanderbilt. Now, Vanderbilt, as we know, well, they are the Harvard of the SEC in that they are very smart, but at the same time, when it comes to their football ability, they're more like the Central Connecticut State of that conference as well. So you've got just not a lot going on there, but certainly Georgia looked very solid. But at the same time, you don't wind up going from having a power ranking of Georgia as, let's say that your top team is Alabama and they're like, we'll call it a 45, because you wind up going in incremental terms and maybe you have Georgia as like a 42, for example. I'm just spitballing numbers here. So you've got a 3-point difference there. You don't all of a sudden wind up having Georgia leapfrog in front of Alabama because of a win over Vanderbilt. But at the same time, you certainly keep it into perspective, as Georgia, by the way, they wound up going over the total all by themselves today. So you give them a lot of credit for what they were able to do to the Commodores. But it is something that we always do want to be keeping note of. And it's something that I do in the NFL as well. I'm going to be getting you guys up to date on that, because when it is midnight Pacific, it goes all football heavy on this show. And also what I'm going to be doing in the second hour, if you guys wound up listening to the show yesterday, I did something where I just wound up doing a little bit of a look at the futures as to what some of you guys' favorite teams are, what some of you guys wind up rooting for. And I just wind up doing pretty much a futures by deduction. You wind up having a couple teams out there. I took the scope of Twitter, gauge some of your favorite teams. And I'm going to be telling you where there is slash is not value on the futures board, because I know there are many of you guys, you have your favorite teams. I'm going to be telling you guys, hey, there might be a little bit of value here. And sometimes there just flat out isn't any value. And that's the thing with futures, is because you've got so many different options. You've got so many teams on the betting board. Well, you're not always going to find value on like 15 teams on the college basketball betting board preseason or anything like that. So we're going to be taking a look at where the value is there. But certainly there was a lot of value when it comes to home underdogs in college football, something that I just have been harping on so much. You would have hit at right around a 61% clip if you've just been blindly taking home underdogs throughout this college football season so far. But something else that you've got to take note of is that the SEC is just going to be absolutely brutal. I wanted mentioning the fact that Georgia wound up absolutely housing Vanderbilt. You wound up seeing Alabama completely house Southern Miss. These are clearly the top two teams, in my opinion, out there in the SEC. But when it comes to the SEC as well, how about the emergence of Arkansas? They were able to take down Texas A&M by a count of 16-7. They were able to get a nice win there. And when it comes to this Arkansas team, I think that they are going to be very intriguing, because we remember they were one of the doormats of the conference as little as about 2 years ago. So it certainly was a case in which you didn't know how long the rebuild was going to be with Arkansas. And for Arkansas, this is a bunch that they wound up completing only about 50% of their passes, but they were getting a yards per completion rate of about 30 yards. And then for Texas A&M, this is a team that with Spiller behind the quarterback was able to give you 12 carries for 95 yards. So he certainly was able to go off, have some big carries for Texas A&M. But with the Aggies, it certainly is going to be a case of the quarterback situation and being able to get everyone fully healthy on the scene, because they were playing quite short-handed in this one. That, no question, I feel like had a big, I guess you call it factoid on this one. But when it comes to Texas A&M, I just don't know if I can fully buy into Jimbo Fisher ever taking this team above where they are right now. That is, being like a top 15, top 10 team, being relatively solid, but you just aren't able to get the guys that Georgia and Alabama is. The question with Arkansas is if they're ever going to be able to get back to that point, but KJ Jefferson, he's certainly doing his best to be able to do so. Like I said, he wound up only completing like less than 50% of his passes, 7 of 15, but 212 yards through the air, so it was a big strike offense. And when it came to Arkansas, the ball did wind up bouncing their way a little bit. They did wind up having two fumbles, but they did not wind up losing any of those fumbles, which was very big for them. And Monterrick Brown, his interception, very key for Arkansas in this one. And what else is very key when it comes to college football in general is just trying to gauge some of these matchups where you might be able to find some value with the points. I'm personally someone that I always like to gravitate a little bit more towards underdogs personally. You always, in the first couple weeks of the season, get these hilarious FBS versus FCS schools. You wind up having clear bye games in which these teams are like catching 40 some odd points. You wind up getting some spots, in my opinion, that become some of the best betting spots on the board. You wind up seeing a team that wound up losing to a D2 school earlier in the year, Central Connecticut State, play against Miami, and you wind up having Miami win by, insert your giggles here, 69-0 against Central Connecticut State. They wound up closing at about a 46-point favorite, and I didn't think it was enough, and it clearly was not, but it is one of these cases in which you do wind up having these harebrained sides and totals, and I do think that it presents a lot of value in a lot of cases on the underdog, clearly with Central Connecticut State, a team that lost to Southern Connecticut earlier in the year. That's not something that you want to be taking, but we wound up seeing with Texas Southern. They were able to get the cover against Rice, who was laying between 36 and 37 points. That was a 48-34 final. You wound up seeing Charleston Southern be able to cover north of three touchdowns. That was a three-point game. Virginia Tech had a tough time with Richmond. Penn State was unable to get the cover against Villanova. So that's always something that you want to keep in mind, even though some of these games are a little bit lesser, even though it's certainly not going to be one that you wind up putting on your bookmark as a game of the century sort of game or anything like that. There's money to be made, and that's what it's all about. And there's a lot of money still to be made on the baseball diamond. So we're going to take a look back at everything that we wound up seeing on Saturday and rolling it forward to Sunday right here on the Greg Peterson Experience on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.